Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor brother Rob Coombs. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
By the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Almighty God. We thank you, Lord God, that you're here in our midst, in our presence, in our hearts, filling us, Lord God, with your Spirit. Lord God, knowing that it says if we come together, two of us in your name, Lord God, that you are in the midst and in the presence. And we thank you, Lord, for being here. We thank you for your word, your anointing, your Holy Ghost, your power. Lord God, have your way, Lord God. Me as a man knowing nothing, Lord God, but I do know one thing, that you are a mighty God, an awesome God, and that you're here and present and alive and well. Have your way within this service, Lord God. Speak the hearts, deliver the afflicted, Lord God. Heal the sick, Lord God. Set free the ones that are in captive by the works of the enemy. Father, we love you and thank you. In the wonderful name of Jesus, have your way. Amen. You don't be seated. Hallelujah. It's again good to have the visitors come in with us today. We hope we could say something to encourage you. Hope could say something to challenge you in God's word. Amen. You happen to wander into a place today, a little small, humble place. Ain't much. Don't make much noise. But we're a small work. But we are happen to run into some people that truly believe God's word and love the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. We haven't been perverted by the present day doctrines of an American God. My God is the same God that spoke all things into existence. My God is the God that spoke all things visible and invisible, he says. All powers, all dominions, all thrones. He spoke all things into existence and made and created all things. He had no beginning, has no end. He is the Alpha, the Omega. Amen. The author and the finisher of our faith. And he is a God that is alive. He is a God that was never killed and never died. You know, there was a Son of Man that came and was crucified on the cross of Calvary for our salvation and died for our sins. Amen. Hallelujah. But God cannot die because he's the Prince of Life. It was the Son of Man that God dwelled in the fullness. Amen. The Son of God, Jesus Christ. He came and died and set us free and delivered us. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you in love with Jesus this day? Amen. We're serving an awesome God. Hallelujah. We believe his word today. We don't think that his word is no different today than it was yesterday or last year or 25 years or 100 years or 2,000 years ago. My Bible teaches us that our God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. I'm not serving a 2008 God, one that comes in that's ordaining faggots and queers and homosexuals and sodomites. That's not the God that I serve. My God says, come out of the world, be a separate people, come out of the unclean thing, amen. He saves sodomites and homosexuals. He saves whoremongers and harlots. He saves them, but he delivers them. He brings them out of their filth, out of their sin. And when you go into a church and they're ordaining homosexuals, I say run, because God's not there. Amen. You say, what do you have a problem with homosexuals? No, I love them. Amen. And I'll reach out and love them. I'd even take them and hold them and say, God loves you so much that he died and shed his blood for you. Amen. But I don't love them enough to tell them that they're okay in their filthy, wretched sin. Nor the drunkard, nor the whores and the harlots or the whoremongers or the dope addicts. They all need to do one thing. They need to get born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and do like the Bible says, come out of the world and be a separate people. Amen. There's no salvation living in the world and in the ways of the world. The Bible said, come out. We are peculiar people. My Bible teaches us that. We are not of this world. We don't desire this world, the things of this world, the lust of this world. We desire more of God. Amen. And you say, what a boring way to live. Amen. I tell you what, it is the most awesome thing when you've entered into the presence of a living God and he fills you with his Holy Ghost and you got that rivers of living water, like the Bible says, flowing from your innermost being. The word says that if you drink of this, amen, that I've been drinking of, amen, you'll never, ever thirst ever again. You know, this man used to be a heathen. I know what it is to drink things that intoxicate you and drink alcohol. No, I'm not proud of it. I say, thank you, Jesus, for delivering me from all things, drugs and alcohol and lust and perversions and filthiness of the flesh. He's delivered me and set me free, and I love him, amen. But what I'm saying is I understand the temporal sensations of drunkenness in the world. It compares nothing to being drunk in the spirit of the Holy Ghost, amen. Being filled with the power of his spirit and the power of his love and the power of his salvation and the power of his life. There's nothing, amen. There's no drugs that has ever been invented or ever made that take you into an utopia or into the places that I've been, amen, with Christ Jesus, amen. I tell you, fall in love with Jesus. It is something that you'll never regret. It brings joy and peace and a sound mind. It brings a peace, the Bible says, it surpasses all understanding. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, you just happen to wander into a place today, amen, that this man is in love with the Lord, amen, and been filled with his spirit, and he is real. Amen. He is alive. Hallelujah. I hope that you could experience some of this that I've taken. I know when I was a kid back in the 60s and 70s, you know, there was a real drug problem in this land, and these young people would come around, man, you got to try this and you got to try that. Boy, I mean, it'd put you into next year, put you up on some other planet, and believe me, they would. But I'll tell you what, it has nothing. I mean, it doesn't comprehend, compare. It just takes you out of the senses of your own mind and destroys you and kills you. The world ain't got nothing. Amen. Hallelujah. You love him today. Amen. All right. Did you come to hear the word today? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to hear the word. Amen. The word is alive and well. Jesus is the word. Amen. His spirit is life. This book that we call the Bible, you could read it and go to hell. You could memorize it from cover to cover and go to hell. You can have all the quotes. You could say all the right things. You can go to the right church and all that. You see, what we need is the spirit of his word. We need to get out of the intellectual application of his word and say, oh, you know, and have the right things say. But we need to have his word living, amen, and dwelling and alive. Our God is not dead. Hallelujah. I want to say happy Mother's Day to you all. And it's good to have an increase in the kingdom. And we got a new little baby back here. Hannah Praise, a beautiful little baby. Went down the other evening to see her. But that little baby, I went down to the hospital today and the little head was just perfectly round and beautiful, beautiful baby. Amen. I'll tell you, it's a wonderful thing to see life. But the thing I could say is you look at the little baby and we got to get in the mind of God. The Bible said that's the day of mourning on one's birth. And the day of one's, we say, to use the terminology of death very carefully when we understand that it's the spirit cannot die, but it's the outer garment of iniquity, that fleshly part. But it said that's the day of rejoicing. And we got things crossed up as men. Wouldn't it be nice to go to a funeral and they put a saint of God and somebody and everybody's in there just saying, hallelujah, praise God. They've kept the faith. They fought the fight, amen. But you know, everybody mourns and it's okay. The Bible does say there's a time of mourning and we miss people and love people, amen. But you know, it's a great day for them. They wouldn't choose for a moment to think about coming back into this old earthly vessel with its vexation and its weaknesses and its illnesses and its problems and its complications. Boy, once that spirit has been set free from this old pest house of bondage, it wouldn't want to come back for nothing. Say, oh man, please don't make me come back into that thing, man. It's being set free. Amen. Hallelujah. Do we have anybody set free in here today?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. I want you to turn with me over into the New Testament to Philippians. Children, love your parents. The Bible teaches us that. And you could shorten the number of your days by not loving your parents and being obedient. The Bible teaches children, be obedient to your parents. This is a day of honoring your mothers. And remember your mothers. If there's any in the sound of my voice this day that have aught or things with their mothers and aren't speaking to their mothers, I say humble yourself and get rid of that old nasty thing and call them and say, Mother, I love you. I wanted to call and wish you a Mother's Day. Amen. You say, well, my mother's wretched. My mother's no good. All flesh is that way. There ain't anything good, the Bible says, not one. But Jesus loved us so much that he came to this world and died and shed his blood for us that we could have life and life abundantly. And I think that you could honor that mother. And maybe she hadn't been the prime example of a mother or a Christian by no means to you, but you could honor and love her and say, I love you. Amen. And maybe that could be the thing that could set her apart. It might be just a kind touch of a word that could change her and set her free, maybe from the afflictions and the bondage. I have a heavenly Father that done that with me. I wasn't worthy of anything. I had no life. And I didn't deserve anything but one thing, to be cast into the lake of fire and to burn there forever and ever and ever. That's what I had coming and that's what I deserved as a man. But thank be to God, a loving Father that sent his own Son, Jesus Christ, that he took the penalty of sin and death and he took that punishment upon himself that we could have life. And life everlasting. It's not, again, a story or a historical thing. It is a reality. Amen. Be filled with his spirit. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Let him live and reign. Learn to get out of his way. Learn, the Bible says, to let his mind come in. Let it be his mind and not yours. Philippians, the second chapter. We'll read a little bit here this morning and hopefully be able to expound a little on his word. As a man, I have nothing to say to you. I know nothing. At my very best, the Bible says, is filthy rags. But I do know one that dwells within me. His name is Jesus. He is the Prince of Life, the power of salvation. He is God. He is the creator of all things. He created all things and spoke everything into existence. He's here this morning and alive and dwelling in the saints of God. And the Bible said no longer the minister speaking, but God speaking through him. We have surrendered over to him and we are going to allow him. Amen. Can you believe that this morning? If you could believe that, then you could be one to have ears to hear. When Jesus was here, he said, though you have ears, you do not hear. And though you have eyes, you do not see. And the people were looking at him and hearing, but they needed to step in to another kind of hearing. Amen. Hallelujah. And not hear the man, but hear the Spirit of God. We know over in the Old Testament, one of his prophets got out of whack. We say that the Lord spoke through an ass and spoke to him. So believe me, brothers and sisters, he could speak through a man that has yielded himself to him in this present day and hour. We need to hear from you, Almighty God, this day. Philippians, the second chapter, verse 1. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. If you don't mind me this morning, instead of preaching, you know I could preach and we can get excited about God's word and things, and we've seen mighty miracles. happen in our midst. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. People don't hardly believe in miracles in this day and hour no more. And I don't blame them, because there's so many lying miracles, lying signs and wonders. You know, people turn on their televisions. They turn on these lukewarm layout of sin day. The Bible says vomit on the tables. And you say, well, be careful. Yes, I am very careful. I would not speak against God's elect, but it's hard to find one on the television. There's some men of God on there, yes, that truly love God and truly are soul winners. I'm not going to speak against them, and I never would, but there's many of them, as the Bible says, in the end time, they're hirelings. It's become business. The churches of America have become an organized business. I would like to speak about the glory of God and the power of God and the true, genuine Christianity and true, genuine spirit-filled people. But brothers and sisters, there's people turned off from God in our day and hour. They're turned off from religion, because religion is the most wretched, ungodly, the most filthy, the most immoral organization in the United States of America. And the reason I say that, you say, well, they're not selling drugs. Well, drug people that are selling dope are supposed to be doing that. That's what they do. Pig stink, pig snort, pig squeal. And if you're offended when you go over to your farmer's house that raises pigs and you go out there and it smells like mire and don't smell good and you're offended, you got a problem. You don't need to be there. That's what the worldly people are supposed to do. Whores are supposed to be harlots. They're supposed to sell themselves. They're supposed to give themselves to anything for whatever. It might be a drink. It might be for a dollar. Whatever it is. That's what they're supposed to do, because they're full of demon possession. That's what they're supposed to do. Drug addicts are supposed to sell drugs. Drunkards are supposed to be drunk. That's what they do. That's what they have. But when you call yourself a Christian, when you call yourself a minister, when you call yourself a child of God, then you're supposed to live righteous, godly, holy, and virtuous. And when you call yourself a preacher, and all you're interested in is money and an offering plate, and you don't want to say anything to offend anybody, you just want to talk about how good God is and how merciful He is, you know, for you can pass your little plate and you can get it out there and you can get money to get your little fat belly a little bit fatter, and for you could lay your fat sorry hide over in a big fat bed and you could be lazy, and while everybody else is laboring and working, and you could just go and frolic and do the things. But brothers and sisters, I apologize that I wouldn't speak against the church of the living God. I wouldn't speak against God's elect or God's anointed. But I say this for this reason, that there are people that are turned off and don't want anything to do with church or anything because of what is happening in America with the religious organizations called the church. I would not speak against the church of the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not speaking of any denomination. I'm speaking about the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wouldn't speak against that. In this day and hour, the Bible teaches us very clearly that gross darkness infiltrates the land. And it talks about preachers with itching ears, and they're just tickling the ears. They want to prophesy, the Bible says, smooth things. When you want to go to church and just hear how much God loves you and how He died for you and that nobody's perfect and everybody's okay and He just loves everybody, you're being lied to. The Bible doesn't teach those things. Amen. The Bible said He's angry with the wicked and pursues them off the face of the earth. The Bible said, woe unto you that hold the sword back from blood. The Bible said that the ministers are the avengers of God. Amen. And the Bible said that they're thoroughly equipped to reprove, to rebuke, and to exhort with all long suffering. Brothers and sisters, if we look, there's things that run patterns in our country. And I could speak to some of you that are a little bit older, maybe that we lived in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and maybe 70s or something. And you could remember things were a little bit different. Yes, I know that a lot of problems came into our country from World War II and from the 40s. But you know, things are different. The churches are different. Government is different. The school systems are different. Amen. But everything runs a pattern. Lord, this is the way God works. He allows things to run a pattern. The Bible says the unseen things of the spirit world are revealed by the things which do appear. So we can see that this worldly gross darkness has infiltrated everything. Amen. I could say, and I could look at some of you, and some of you would remember, you know, when we were a kid in school and we were disobedient. If they said, you can't chew gum in class, and you chewed gum, it wasn't that going to get some kind of a little reprimand, or they tell the teacher or the principal that they couldn't touch you or wouldn't whoop you. I'll tell you what, I've had my backside tanned before by principals. Amen. I knew what that barber strap used to, they used to sharpen the thing with. I knew what the wooden paddle was. I was very familiar with it. The thing is what I'm saying is that was a day they would discipline. And if you got put in jail, they were allowed to discipline you. They used to have what they called chain gangs, and they made men that were violators to society, and they made them work and they labored. They didn't have air conditioning and colored TV. They didn't have filthy magazines to look at while they was in there. They didn't like it in there, and if they had the chance of getting out, they wanted to live a rehabilitated life, or they would never go back in there. But you see, these things have departed our land. The thing is in the schools, they appease everything. And then we've got what we call equal rights, you know, and they're going to give the equal rights to the pedophiles and the perverts and the people that are violating. They don't need rights. They violated the rights of America, the rights of a country, the rights of the people, and they need their rights taken away, you know. And you say, well, where's the love of God in that? The love of God is for the people that are still trying to live right and do right. I'm speaking in general of the things that have taken place in our country. We see a demoralization. The Bible says that Satan will climb up into the upper lintels. You say, what does that mean? The Bible also says he climbs up in the upper echelon. It means the first and utmost meaning we have to understand is the spirit. We have a body, soul, spirit. When he climbs up in the spirit, you're possessed by a demon and he's having his way in your life. When you see a mother that says she's a Christian and she takes and drowns her children and puts them in the car and drives them in the river, that woman is demon possessed. You could go to the psychologist. You can go to the psychiatrist and say, well, she was mentally ill. No, she was demon possessed. That's what demon-possessed people do. Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy. And when a mother does those kind of things, like the one over in Texas that sliced the throat of her little children, that is a mother that's demon-possessed. You say, she got a mental illness. No, it's a mental demon that made her think the way that she thought. Let's get real. Jesus dealt with demons. He cast devils out of people. We got to get real and quit watering everything down. Science and doctors, they got to have some kind of an explanation for everything. And they want to explain everything away when sometimes you just got to deal with it. We need to be full of the Holy Ghost like the men of God were in the book of Acts, and we need to lay hands on people. We need to adjure Satan. We need to reprove him. We need to rebuke him, and we need to quit watering everything down and making everything okay. Let black be black and white be white. Amen. Let's get out of the gray areas. So we're speaking about the things that we look as patterns. We see the discipline has left our school system. I don't hear the reports of little children being paddled for chewing gum or for lying or cursing a teacher or doing those things. I have a cousin that's a bus driver. He said, I don't think I can stand it no more. They don't allow us to discipline anything. I got these little guys, 3 and 4 year olds, look up at me, look me in the eye and curse me and cuss me. And he said, boy, I'd like to take my belt off and wear them out, but I can't do those things. You know, I don't think we should tie the hands of people in authority and leaders. I shared the story with you not long ago from a preacher preaching from the sacred desk, and he was ministering. A little 6-year-old was getting unruly and he's making noise, and he looked over his wife like, honey, it's time to do something. You believe in communication? Like that, I do. Sometimes you could look at somebody. That's the way fathers and mothers should be. They shouldn't have to say, well, Sonny boy, if you don't straighten up. They should be able to look at that kid. He says, I know what that look means. It means that I'm going to get my hide tanned when I get home. That's the kind of authority we need as parents. Amen. And when that's left, then we're not in love with our children. When those things depart and leave us, we can't say that we love our children, because the Bible said we chasten them that we love. Amen. That's what our God says. He's our Heavenly Father. And our God says he chastens them that he loves. Amen. We're serving a loving God. Amen. I've been behind the woodshed with Jesus. Amen. Believe me. Paul said, I got the marks in my body to prove it. Amen. But we're looking, brothers and sisters, again, and we're going to read some more in Philippians here. But, you know, again, if I went to Romans, the first chapter says, again, the invisible things of the Spirit are revealed by what we see. I'm speaking about a country that was a God-fearing country, a country that used to have morals, a country that has left all of that. When they're allowing the sodomite community to have power of legislation in our government, it means God has departed our government. When our government is putting these kind of people in power, brothers and sisters, it means that there is a problem. So when we look at the school system, discipline has left. We go to the correctional facilities, we find that the discipline has left. They're giving these people the rights. I like the man over in, I believe it was Arizona, and he put the people in tents. And he made a place, and these people that had violated the laws of America, and they incarcerated them, and they put them out in tents, and they complained, it's hot, we need air conditioning stuff. And they said, we got soldiers giving their life and fighting in foreign fields that it's 130 degrees, and they're sleeping in tents with full fatigues on and different things, so you'll be all right. See, that's the kind of things we need to return to in this land. That's why the jails and the prisons are overflowed and overflooded, because they allow them to sit, and they're strengthening this kind of a lifestyle that don't want to work. This is the problem with our welfare systems and stuff. They're taking people that are too lazy to work and they're just handing to them and handing them to them. Our government has made corruption and they're corrupting the minds of the people. My Bible says you don't work, you don't eat. We need to return back to the Word of God. We need to get some of these lazy young men that murmur and complain standing in the welfare lines and murmur and complain because they're taking too long to hand them their checks. You say, well, I came to hear about God. You're hearing about God. That's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And if His Word says you don't work, you don't eat, we need to turn back to that. Yes, we need to have benevolence. We need to show love. We need to take care of the widows and the orphans. If we know somebody's hungry, we as the church need to go to them and help feed them. I'm not against that, brothers and sisters, but I'm against when a man sits at home and sucks on his alcohol. I'm against when a man's too lazy to work and he comes to the house of God or to the welfare department and says, oh man, I'm hungry. My children need food. I say, get to work. Get to work and show yourself a man. Teach your little children to work, but we're in a welfare society. Nobody has a mind to work. Nobody wants to work. And everybody wants rights. It's corruption is what it is. We need to turn back to the Word of God. So we see that discipline has left the schools. We see discipline has left the government. Discipline has left everything. We come to the church. The Bible said the man of God is thoroughly equipped to reprove, to rebuke, and to exhort with all long suffering. Again, it said not to hold the sword back from blood. But we see that the discipline in the house of God, the reproof and the rebuke has departed because the church is corrupted. It has been corrupted. Not the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about organized religion. It has become corrupted. And this is why gross darkness has come upon the land, because the standards of godliness have departed. We find that in the homes and in the households that people are afraid to discipline their children, afraid what the government would say. This and that. But let me finish the story about the preacher that was preaching and a little six-year-old was being disruptive in the service. He looked over at his wife and thought, okay. So she got up and went over to get the little child and she took and sat down. And the preacher was still preaching. And the little child was sitting there. And the preacher's wife was trying to tell this young kid, six-year-old, say, look, we don't act like this in church. This is the house of God. We demand reverence and respect. And the little kid was still being unruly. Took a shoe off and threw it. And it landed up on the platform. Well, the preacher finally said, this is enough of that. He walked around the sacred desk and he went over and grabbed the little fella by the hand. And he pulled him up in front of the church and he's pulling his belt out. He took his belt and he's pulling it out. And one of the deacons of the church come up and said, brother, you know you can't do that. You can go to jail for that. And he said, some things are worth going to jail for. And he wore the little fella out. You understand that? That's love. That's demanding respect. We need respect in homes. Fathers, when you let your little daughters talk back to their mothers, you ain't fit to be called a father. If you let your little daughters back talk your wife and talk disrespectful to your wife, you are strengthening a demon spirit within that child. And you say, oh no, it's not a demon spirit. Yes, it's a demon spirit. That's what my Bible teaches. It said children shorten the number of their days by disobeying their parents. Amen. So what we have to do, brothers and sisters, is we got to stay with the Bible. Be mothers and be fathers. Fathers, don't let those things happen. If you want to ask any of my children to testify, I'm not testifying that I'm good or was a good dad. I have a good father and his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. That's the only thing good. But I did not allow that kind of foolishness in my home. When the children rise up and speak against the mother, they could expect consequences. Not part of the time, not some of the time, but every time. That's why when we speak, our words don't carry no strength, because we make too many threats and we say, well, if you don't do this, and if you don't do this, and you don't do that, you don't do this, you don't do that, and you never do anything about it. When you speak, if you are a person of authority in your home and your household's in order, when you speak, the child knows you're going to do something. Quit lying to your kids and telling them that you might do something. Do it every time, and pretty soon you'll see that all you got to do is speak. It brings peace, love, and tranquility in your house. We had some children in our school down here that was not from a disciplined home. But when they come to our school, they were disciplined. And I saw the children recognize that as love, because they know that they loved and was concerned about them enough that they were disciplined there, and we saw that they cleaved to that love. And that's what we need, brothers and sisters. So what we're speaking about is organized religion in the churches of America, and we're looking for these patterns that we see everything changing. We find discipline has left the churches, discipline has left the government, discipline has left the schools, discipline has left the prison systems. But brothers and sisters, if we stay with the Word and we stand on the Word of God, then we're not given to change. The Bible says, woe unto you that are given to change. Amen. We're not given to change. We're going to keep the old past, the old standards. The Bible said don't remove the old landmarks, amen, and we're going to stay with them. The Bible teaches us that if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. And you say, what does that mean? It means that you will stand with your own children's blood on your hands unless you learn to love them. And when you love them, you chasten them and correct them and lead them and guide them. Mothers and fathers, when you whip your children for smoking and you turn around and smoke, you think that's the right thing to do? No, be an example. If you're going to whip your children and smack them across the mouth for cursing and cussing, then get away from the cursing and cussing and be an example to them, because they want to be just like moms and dads. You know, they want to be just like them. So be careful what you do. Be careful what you say. Be careful how you act. Amen. You are an example to children, and we need to be an example to them that they can grow up and be in righteousness and in the Word of God. Okay, reading here at the Word. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Now this one mind that we're speaking of, I have a mind. Now, some of us would look again to the allegory. If I was a carpenter and I wanted to build a house and you go to work with me to help me build a house, we need to come into one mind. You know, if you've got an idea how to build it and I've got an idea how to build it and the other carpenter's got an idea how to build it, we're going to be working against one another. We don't get anything accomplished. If we want to establish an order in the house of God, the only way we could do that is by coming into one mind. The Bible says one mind, one accord, not piercing each other through, nor breaking rank. We come into the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very important thing. It's important when we work, when we labor. It don't matter what we do. We got to come into one mind. Amen. And we got to learn what subjection and submission is to the mind of Christ and to the Spirit. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. You see, brothers and sisters, if we could come to the revelation of what verse 2 said there, it cuts out a lot of problems. It cuts out jealousies. It cuts out envy. It cuts out strife. It cuts out all of these kind of things, because we're esteeming others greater. And you say, well, how can I esteem somebody greater when I look at them and they're wretched and they're no good and they're this and that? I said, that's what Jesus done for you. When he looked at you in your wretchedness and in your sinful ways, he esteemed you better than himself by coming and dying for you. That's what we got to have, that kind of compassion, that kind of love, that kind of mercy. And we got to have that within our heart. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, verse 3. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. This is the Word of God we're reading here. You want success? Let me tell you something. You could seek after the world, the finances of the world, the pleasures of this world, and you'll gain them. You can give your life and gain this world. You could be a wealthy man. You can have all finances, all money. But what do you have when it's all said and done and it comes down to the end? The Bible said it's all vanity and vexation of the spirit. You could gain this whole world and lose your soul. You see, brothers and sisters, we get to seeking after the things for ourselves and they'll be added, but we have nothing. If we would do what the scripture says here and we'd start looking for others' best being. This sounds like a good message for a preacher. Yes, if you give your money in the altars, man, God will bless you. You know, there's a truth in that, but they've perverted it. They've turned it into a lie. And all they do is tickle ears, say, give, give. I'm not talking about you giving your finances. I'm talking about you giving your life to God. Amen? And if you have finances, you need to give and sow in the kingdom of God. It's not that he needs your money. You need to give, for you could get his attention and say, God, I'm seeking you first. I'm seeking after you. And when you start helping the needy, start helping the afflicted, start helping the widow, start helping the orphans, then the Bible said that's true and undefiled religion. It says to come out of the world, to be a separate people. Amen. But when you do that, you see, and you're concerned about others, now you're storing away wealth. You might live to be 100. You might be real fortunate to live to be 125. And you might have a lot. But when it's all said and done, they put you in a box, you become equal with the town drunk. You know, all flesh goes back to the same thing. It don't matter how many airplanes you left at the airport. It don't matter how many mansions you left on the beach and how many mansions you left in the mountains. It doesn't matter. When you take your last breath, everything becomes equal. They'll throw you in a box and them worms ain't going to say, oh, don't touch this one, man. He's got 16 jets out at the airport and 4 yachts in the ocean. You know, we're not going to eat that one. It's going to eat and consume every bit of it. When they slam you down on the stainless steel table and they take that tricar and slam it right up in your gut and start sucking your guts and intestines and blood out of you, they ain't ain't no respecter of person there. Oh, no, we can't do this. You know, man, they're going to suck the juice out of the president just like they do the guy from Skid Row. And they're going to pump embalming fluid. And all flesh comes back to the same. It don't matter how big his house is and how much money you got when it's all said and done. It's like my dad said. He said, I've never seen a hearse going to a funeral with a U-Haul trailer hooked to the back of it. You entered into this world naked, and I'll tell you one thing for sure, you'll depart from it exactly the same way. And you ain't going to have nothing. But the only thing that matters is the treasures that we've stored away in heavenly places. Now the thing is, brothers and sisters, when we would take this scripture to mind, and we would find ourselves thinking more highly of others than we do of our own self. The Bible talks about being high-minded, puffed up in your fleshly mind, thinking too highly of yourself. You see, this is the mind of man. We got to kill that mind out. When you think you're something, you know, you need to come to the revelation that you're nothing whatsoever outside of Jesus Christ. He is our God. He is our salvation. And this is what we got to come to realize that we need Him. You don't ever come to a place that you don't need Him. We always continually need Him. And if you're a child of God, He'll remember and remind you of those things, how much you need Him. You know, the man came to me one time that was addicted to crack cocaine, and he was losing his job, and his wife was divorcing him and leaving him, and he come, you know, and he's crying. He said, oh man, Brother Rob, he said, my world is coming to an end. I'm losing my wife. She's divorcing me, and I've lost my job. And he's crying and everything. I said, praise God, this is the best place I've ever seen you. Yeah, and you think, man, what's wrong with you, preacher? I remember the guy took a breath, man, and trying to get him his composure, man. He goes, are you some kind of sick guy? I'm sitting here pouring my heart out, tell you that my world has come to an end. I'm losing everything that I got, and I'm sitting there smiling. Praise God, that's the best I ever seen you. You know why? Because that's when you find God sometimes. Sometimes God has to allow you to get down to the bottom for you could look up and say, I need a God. You know, the Bible talks about the Laodicean Day church in this day and hour. It said they're rich. That's what the Bible said. They're rich. You know, rich, the Bible said, they answereth haughtily. And a haughty spirit, the Bible says, comes before the fall. America's rich. And if we're not even laboring, we're still rich. I'm telling you, the people on welfare in America, when I go into the poverty countries and I go into Africa and go into the Philippines and go into these poverty countries, the people on welfare in America are rich. Let me tell you something. I've been in them countries, and I mean, there's a lot of people walking that can't afford to have cars. Do you see somebody on welfare in America that's not driving a car? How often do you see that? They usually have cars. They usually got food. And then they could take some of their food stamps and sell them for, and they can get some beer too. And they can go get them a little more smoke and a little bit more snort. The people on welfare are rich in this country. But the Bible talks about the Laodicean Day church. They're saying that they're rich. They have no need of God. Why would we need a healing God when we got Medicaid and Medicare and Medi-Cal? Why do I need God, man? I could get the pill. I could get the dope, man. Give me some more. And boy, they'll get you on it. They'll get you where you need it. They'll give you stuff that makes your body quit working. Your body has things that's making chemicals or making things that takes care of your body. And they'll put you on stuff. And when they put you on, your body says, hey, there's no need for me to produce it. And it'll get lazy. And it'll quit working. Are you against medicine? No, not at all. The Bible said a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And sometimes we need medicines. But sometimes doctors are practicing medicine. They look, oh, I think you need this, take that. Oh, I think you need this, take that. And you take that, and all of a sudden the thing that you're taking made something else certain. Well, here, I got something for that too. And then that makes something else certain. I got something for that too. Take this. And pretty soon, man, you're a walking, stinking drugstore. And pretty soon you're a dependent dope addict. Oh, man, that guy down on the street, man, selling that crack, man, he ain't worth a count. You're just as bad. You're a stinking dope addict. Just because the guy's got a sign on his wall and says he's some kind of doctor, you think it's okay? You depend on them. They become your God. You know, get in faith in God and get in the Word of God. Pray and believe. Yes, the doctors could give you medications to prolong life and help you. I'm not against that. I'm not against medications, but I'm telling you what, I knew a man that his wife, man, was so addicted down to all these different medicines and all this, and she didn't feel good, never felt good. She never wanted to go nowhere. So he talked her on going to a vacation. You know, she had her big old Samsonite suitcase about this big full of clothes. And then she had a trunk, man. Took two men to carry it full of her medicine. So he purposely took her medicines and he left them at home. Got her on an airplane, took her off over into an island. Yes, it wasn't a very pleasant vacation. Man, she went through withdrawals. She went through problems and complications. But she came home well. You understand what I'm saying? She got rid of all those things because the antidotes was another problem. My father went to a doctor and he said, man, you, this is what your problem is. Take this. And then he went sleepless nights for 2 years. No sleep. He sleep about 30 minutes at a time. You know, and he went back and they said, well, we got to send you to sleep specialist. This costs $6,000 to hook these things to you and watch you flip and flop all night. Oh, yes, man, we got to do this and you got to take this and you got to do this. And they start prescribing more and more. And then finally, one day he ran out of this little medicine. They had him on because, you know, we're doctors, we're practicing. He didn't have time to go get it. Boy, that was a blessing. When he ran out of it, he found himself sleeping. So he said, well, maybe this is part of my problem. So then when he got thrown the medicine away, he started sleeping. That means he could throw three or four other kind of pills away. So am I against medicine? No, I'm not. But brothers and sisters, let's use some wisdom. If I was doing what the doctors told me to do, I'd still be strung out on Oxycontin. And they keep prescribing it. That's how they make money. That's what their living is. You go to the doctor to see if anything's wrong, they'll find something. That's what they're supposed to do. Go to the chiropractor. Oh, I got an ache. Oh, yeah, but you got to keep coming back, man. Let me fix this one. They crack you over here, but oh, boy, you got to come over here, too. Man, they'll have you going. I've been there, too. I mean, you got something wrong every time. Go to the dentist. Man, he's not going to say, man, you got perfect teeth. You got perfect gums. Man, you need 6 months cleaning. Come on back, boy, and he'll be grinding and scratching and scraping around, and pretty soon you're going to need him after he gets all the enamel off your teeth. Man, you're going to have him for sure. Are you against that too? No, I'm not against those things. I'm saying let's use some wisdom. Just because they got a medical degree, they're not God. You understand that? And people esteem them as God. They go to them, they say, oh yes, this is what? Brother Pike was praying and the Lord spoke to him and said, stop that nurse. And he looked at the nurse, he said, stop. And the nurse said, look, I've got orders. The doctor sent me here. These are my orders. I'm supposed to put this in her IV. He said, no, stop. And the nurse said, no, wait a minute. I got orders. She said, stop. And he made her stop and said, you get a doctor. They got a doctor coming and they looked at what it had and would have killed her. The doctor said it would have killed her. You see, what am I saying? I'm saying the mind of God is greater than the mind of doctors. Jesus is the physician. So if you leave here today thinking I'm against medications, no, I'm not. But I'm against carnality. You need to be sensitive to the Lord. If he says, throw your medicine away, then throw it away. If he says, take it, then you need to take it. Amen? So the thing is they practice. And they practice and they continue to practice. Okay, verse 4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. If you've never tried that and never applied it in your life, I encourage you to try that. If you want substance, start giving substance away. If you want joy, start giving joy away. You want friends, the Bible says, show yourself friendly. If you want things, start giving them away and God will give them back to you. It's God's way. It's God's way. Try it without thinking I'm telling you to come over here and give to me and give this and that. You give me your money, I'm going to give it away because I apply what I'm talking about. I give it away. I give it away. Continually give it away. If you're having a problem, blame what the preacher says. Interview these brethren that are sitting in this church right now and say, yeah, he gives it away. You know what? I'm going to be given. I hope that I'm given and given and given my life and given my strength, given my finance, given my understanding, given everything to the Lord. Amen. And given it to the people and to the people of this world, trying to help them and lead them and be an example. I want to be an example, brothers and sisters, of Christianity in this world. Verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, if you was an employer and you were trying to run a business and you were successful and knew how to do it, you knew how to get the job done. You knew how to be productive. You knew how to make money or whatever it is. You would like to say, my, I'd like to put this mind in this man right here. This guy comes to work. He's dragging around. He's not productive. The only time I see him move fast is on his way to the time clock. And then everything kicks down into granny gear. I've witnessed that many times. Hallelujah. The Bible teaches us very clear what kind of an employee we're supposed to be when we work for people. And we're supposed to sacrifice and give and depress. Believe me, it pays off. Amen. Let this mind be in you, which also in Christ Jesus. You see, what kind of mind did Jesus have? He had a mind to give. He came and gave his life. He had a mind to do good to them that despitefully used him. They spoke all matter of evil against him. They persecuted him. They cheated. They lied against him. And he loved them. This is the mind that we need to have. We need to love and we need to show the love of God. It says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Can we have this kind of a mind in us? Brothers and sisters, we as men, can we have this mind of Christ in us? He said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. That's what it says here. Could we have a mind to think that we could come to some kind of an equality with God? Read your Bibles. You know, people will find fault with you when you teach the word. But the thing is the Bible said we're joint heirs with God. You know what an heir is? We've inherited. What did we inherit from him? We come into his mind. We inherited life abundant, life eternal. We've inherited all things that pertain unto life, the Bible says. He's given us all things. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we're eternal. We can't die. We've passed from death unto life. They might throw this old fleshly carcass of yours out there in a box and the worms will eat it. But that's have nothing to do with death, according to the Bible. The Bible said we pass from death unto life, that we cannot die. We're hid away in Christ. We're sealed in. You see, you've got to understand there's a spirit living in this body. The spirit that is living in this body is eternal. The destiny of the spirit is what's in question. If you're predestinated in Christ, like the Bible says, then the destiny of that spirit will be dwelling with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever, eternally into heaven, heavenly place. You know, heaven isn't some kind of place with these little fat naked angels in diapers with bow and arrows shooting at you while you're walking barefooted on streets of gold. That's some kind of a make-believe heaven. You know, it's not quite that way. People have this vision of this what heaven is. Man, it sounds terrible to me. Or maybe go sit up there all day watching a big old fat baby floating around shooting bow and arrows at you, man. I mean, boy, I can't wait to get there. God, you poor thing. Well, what do you think it's like? Brother Branham, he made a statement when he crossed over to the other side, you know, beyond the veil. And he said he was there, and women that he had led to the Lord and were in their 90s when he met them there. They was like in their early 20s, he said. He didn't know who they were. And they were coming to him, saying, "Oh, precious brother." And they were hugging him. He said there wasn't any fleshly feelings about it at all. There wasn't any filth, any perversions of the opposite sex hugging or holding of any kind of way like that. He said it was a genuine love. And again, as the brother has a vision of such a thing and having to come back to this body, then you would understand things a little bit differently. This life is a vapor and a mist. It's here for a moment and gone. The Bible said quicker than a weaver's shuttle. It's here for just a minute. If you could separate and just look at your miserable little 100-year life, if you're that fortunate, it's nothing but vexation of spirit. The Bible said a day to the Lord is as 1,000 years. We mock Esau because he sold his birthright for a bowl of porridge, or we could say a bowl of stew, you know, whatever, how you want to express it. He sold his birthright for a bowl of stew, and we mock him. And there's people that are selling their birthright, you know, for worldly gains, for business, for prestige, for pride, and all those things, selling their birthright out when they need to kill those things out and come alive in Christ and in the gospel. Amen. I hope I'm not boring you this morning. I'm speaking about eternity. I'm speaking about life. I'm speaking about God. I'm speaking that Christianity is a real thing. There is a genuine Christian life. There's a genuine salvation. There's a genuine infilling of the power of God and genuine infilling of the Holy Ghost. Don't be blinded by this world. Don't have your sight set on worldly pleasures and worldly gains. They're temporal. They'll fade away. They'll go away. Don't put your trust in your strength because it'll leave. It'll depart. Don't put your trust in your finances. The Bible said in the end time they'll take their money and they'll throw it to the bats. There's going to be a devastation coming to the world where your dollars won't do no good. Get your trust in God. Put your faith in God. Put everything towards God. And when the American dollar fails, you got trust in something that's eternal. When he led his children out of Egypt, out of captivity, and led them out into a desert, as I've said so many times, there was no Super Walmart out there. You know, there wasn't this program that when they rush over to Katrina, when God went in and smited. You say, you think God done that? Yes, God had his way. The Bible said, I have my way in the good and in the evil. And God was sick of the perversion and the filth and the Mardi Gras, sick of the sodomites and the harlots and sick of the drunkards and the perverts down there. And he come in and he took just a little motion. You say, I don't believe God done that. Well, you didn't read your Bible. All things are ordained by the Lord. Amen. All things. All things good, all things evil. He said he has his way in all things. And the thing is God had his way in it, trying to clean up the wretchedness and the filth over there. And that's just a little foreknowledge of what he's going to do to this whole country. The Bible said, angry with the wicked. And America has gone perverse. You've got a black Muslim, he calls himself a Christian, running for the presidency in this country. I'm not a politician. I'm not telling you to vote Republican. I'm not telling you to vote Democrat. I'm saying this for one reason only, to show you the condition of America. That man wouldn't have even had a chance to get up and to even have an audience before people many years ago. And you say, why? Because he's black? No, black has nothing to do with it. Because the man's got Muslim blood running through him and he's a liar. He's calling himself a Christian. Christians don't promote sodomy. Christians don't promote same-sex marriage. Christians don't promote aborting little children and killing them in the womb. And I don't care if the man's white. I don't care if he's brown. I don't care if he's yellow. I don't care if he's black. When he's pushing those kind of things, things, he's not a Christian, he's not filled with the Holy Ghost, and he's not born again. But I'm just saying that when these things have been exposed, and now we're going to talk about the white race, when you got a woman that was a former first lady, they say, and you see the filth and the perversion that's been going on in her life, of filth. Brothers and sisters, I could unveil things that you couldn't even speak from them. They've robbed this country, robbed this land. They stole things out of the White House when they departed. They defiled the name of presidency of America by their perversion in the White House with their immoralities. And you say, well, that was the man. It wasn't her. She just is wretched and filthy. The Bible said when you are a man and you marry a harlot, the Bible said you become one and you are one. If the woman had any decency and she found her filthy, perverted husband in perversion, defiling America, she would have departed and left the man, because that's what the Bible would teach her to do. I'm just talking about corruption. You say, my Bible says that you can't speak against dignitaries. Dignitaries have dignity, brothers and sisters, and there's no dignity in the filth and the perversion that's going on in the White House. Well, you want us to vote Republican or Democrat? No, I want you to vote for Jesus and let him be your God. Let him be your king. Amen. He's having his way, and he said he'll give you a king after your own heart. And America is turned away from God. And this is why you see these people. We talked about Satan climbing up into the upper lintels. God is having his way in it. And we're going to have leaders in our country that are only things they want is gain and want more finance. They're not concerned for America or the people. It's a political game. And all they're doing is seeking after more because they're greedy dogs, the Bible says. And it's just the condition of America. You say, boy, you need to move off into another country. You know, if you're going to speak against America like this, maybe you ought to go live in another country. You might not speak so bad. I already do. I dwell in heavenly places is what my Bible says. My Bible said I'm an ambassador for Christ. Amen. My God is Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the President of all presidents. Amen. I come to serve him and to worship him. I appreciate America. I appreciate the blood that was shed to have a country that we could worship the Lord in freedom. And I appreciate the brethren or the men that are over in the foreign field still fighting for freedom of our country. I would speak highly in that perspective of thought. But when I compare it to my King and my Lord and my salvation and my God, I see that America has departed the standards of godliness that it was found on. These early presidents that gave and they took time to pray, they wasn't ashamed to lift up the name Jesus in the Congress meetings or in the White House. But now we can't even say his name. We can't speak his name. They would have never allowed it to be taken out of school or to take prayer out of school. They wouldn't have allowed those things. But the reprobate leaders and the perverts and the filthy people that are setting legislation in our country are allowing. You could talk about Buddha. You could talk about Allah. You could talk about all of them. They won't say nothing. They could teach them in the colleges. They could put their names in the books and in the history books. But you can't mention Jesus and you can't say his name. He is our God. He is our King. He is our Lord. Amen. And we shouldn't be ashamed of his name. The Bible said there's no other name given among men that thou shalt be saved. It's Jesus. I'm not ashamed of that name. Amen. Our government could get ashamed of it. That's what I speak against, brothers and sisters. I've been in the foreign fields all over this world, and I find that we have a great nation still to this day. But I'm speaking to you of the falling away of America. It's prophesied in the Bible and in the Word. This gross darkness has got to come, and it's climbing up. When you see guys like Abomination that's running for president, when you see men like this coming in, it's showing gross darkness coming and infiltrating the government of America. He's not a Christian. When they interviewed his pastor, they showed the excerpts of the way the man felt and the way the man spoke. The man is a racist. I got black brothers and sisters that I love that are dear to me. I just preached in a black church over near Memphis, Tennessee. A black church, black pastor, black congregation. And these are my brothers and sisters. I was over in a church over here in Georgia. The head pastor's a black man, a dear brother in the Lord. Amen. I got brethren down at Little Bethlehem that are black. This isn't racial. I love them. They're black brothers and sisters in the Lord. They're dear to me. Brothers and sisters, there's racial conflicts in our country. And the thing is that there's some things that are out of balance. Yes, white men were wrong for enslaving the black man. Yes, they were wrong for the things that they've done to the black people, but they have every opportunity in our country. The only white man that's got a voice in America right now is a faggot. You could say, well, I think you should call him gay. No, gay means happy. And I'm not going to use some kind of terminology for queers that way. I'm sorry. If it offends you, I'm sorry. Call them sodomites. Call them perverts. Call them homosexuals. Don't call them gay, because there ain't no happiness when you're losing your soul. You know, and I'm not trying to be popular here today, but what I'm saying, brothers and sisters, is this is the mind that they're trying to put us in. and we said, let this mind, the mind of Christ, that's the mind we got to come in. He hates that perverted lifestyle. He hates those things, and he spoke against those. When Jesus walked among men, the religious people of his day and hour, you know what he called him? He said, oh, Reverend such and such, oh, mighty man of God. No, he didn't say that. He said, you're a swine, you're a reprobate, you're a pervert, you're a pig. That's what he said. He said, you're a pig and you'll return to your own mire. He said, you're swines and you'll go roll in the mire. That's what Jesus had to say to him. Oh, but he's God. Amen. And he's living in me and I came into his mind. Amen. Hallelujah. You love the Lord. Let's give him a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. If you just wanted to come to church today to get your little ears tickled, that the preacher could tell you, oh, everything's okay. You're all right. You're the apple of God's eye. You know, amen. I want you to know that. When you're a blood-bought, born-again Christian, full of the Holy Ghost, that's what you are. You're the apple of God's eye. He loves you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to encourage you. But when you live like a dog and you live like a devil, he's here to let you know that you need to get born again, that you are on your way to a devil's hell. It wasn't created for you. It wasn't created for man. It was created for fallen angels. But these fallen angels are in seeking around and camping around looking for a place to inhabit. Spirits, brothers and sisters, cannot do anything. They can't speak, they can't move, they can't kill, they can't destroy until they find a body to come into. So there's spirits out there. There is a spirit world that is alive and is full. And if you could pray that God would change your eyesight into the quickening spirit, you could see these spirits. They said seeking in the dry places, looking for a place of inhabitation. And they want to find a man that's carnal, a man that's natural, for they can enter into the thoughts. That's why it says, let this mind, the mind of Christ, be here. The mind of man is enmity with God. The mind of man is carnal. The mind of man is death, the Bible says. We're not supposed to exercise the mind of man. We're supposed to exercise the mind of Christ. That's the mind that thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's the mind that preaches the word of God. That's the mind that lives right and godly and holy and virtuous. That's the mind that comes out of the world and is a separate people. That's the mind that denounces alcoholism. That's the mind that denounces drugs. That's the mind that denounces fleshly lust and perversions. It's the mind that's pure and clean and godly and holy. Let that mind be in you, that you could walk in the counsels of a living God, that you could be born again and filled with the Spirit. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. It's good to have you visitors here with us today. Hope challenged you. Hope encouraged you. And if I made you mad, come in the altars and we'll get glad together. Amen. Amen. I love you. I wouldn't want to say anything to offend anybody, but I'm called to preach God's word. The Bible said the minister's rude in speech, but not in knowledge. Brothers and sisters, we need to get some old-time religion. We need to get some old-time gospel. We need to have some old-time Christianity. You know, the old-time preachers, they always be talking about, man, them old-time guys, they used to preach hell hot. You know, we need some of that, brothers and sisters. We need to quit playing games with God. We need to quit tickling ears. We need to quit appeasing the perverts of this land. We need to get our nation back. We need to get our churches back. We need to get our schools back. You know, we need to get things back. Everything is corrupted. The medical field is corrupted. It's just money. It's gain. It's insurance fraud. And they're going to give you something for they could get more money. And when they get tired of lying to you and can't get no more money out of you, they're going to refer you over to another doctor that's going to give you a referral fee, and then he's going to get you on the same old trail, and he's going to give you this and give you that and give you this and give you that, and when he gets done milking you, he's going to refer you to another one, and when they get done with you, they're going to have you so eat up and full of different kind of stuff, you ain't going to know what's going on. So let's get faith in God, and let's trust the Lord, and let's pray, and let's seek first the kingdom of God, amen, and let's be a people that are filled with the Spirit of life and the Spirit of power, and let's be people that are in love with the Lord, amen. And if the message is too strong for you, there's a church down on the corner that'll tickle your ears, and they'll pat you on the back, and they'll love you and tell you everything's okay, that Jesus come and died for you. But my Bible said the fivefold ministry is sent for the perfecting of the saints, and we need to be perfect. We need to press into perfection. We need to press into God. My Bible says we're inexcusable. Let's sing a song or two. We won't keep you much longer.
I'd rather be in a deep dark grave and know that my
thank you, Jesus.
Poor soul was saved.
Thank you, Lord.
Than live in this world.
Praise you, Jesus.
In a house of gold.
Hallelujah.
And deny
thank you,
my
Jesus.
God. And my
hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The altars are open this morning. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is an opportunity for you this morning to get born again, filled with His Spirit. There's nothing magic in saying a prayer. The television preacher say, oh, say this prayer and repeat after me and you'll be saved. No, it don't quite work that way, amen. You got to have a true, genuine heart of repentance and asking God, have mercy on me, Almighty God. And you got to know that you need a God, amen. But if you're that individual that knows you need a Savior, needs salvation, the altars are open for you, amen. We'll lay hands on you just as the apostles of old did, and we'll impart the gifts of the Holy Ghost into you by the authority of the risen Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. If you need a Savior, if you need salvation, the altars are open. If you need a healing touch in your body, the altars are open. Amen. If you need to be set free from demon affliction, the altars are open. Amen. We've got all authority and all power, hallelujah, dwelling within us. Amen. We can speak that those things that are impossible to man, and we can make them possible in God, because our God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. We're serving a God that is alive and well. He's here. He's now. He is the I Am. He's the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. He is the power of our salvation. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We're not going to tarry much longer. Amen. The altars are open. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. The same God that spoke all things into existence, that created the heavens and the earth, and hung the stars and the sun and all those things out there. He's here this morning. He's alive and He's well. He's still on the throne. He's here for you today. Amen. Hallelujah. He's knocking on your heart's door saying, I want to come in and sup with you. I want to fellowship with you. I want to live in you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to make your crooked path straight is what He's saying. Amen. Hallelujah. We're serving an awesome God. Amen. You love the Lord? Let's give Him a hand this morning. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, you give a president a standing ovation and you give him a hand. But our God is alive and He's here and He's well. Hallelujah. And we love Him. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.